Welcome to The Point. It's our weekly news roundup when we discuss some of the top news stories of the week with my colleagues in the print and digital media. I'm Sean Corcoran. Joining me here in our Woods Hole studio is Anne Brennan. She's the assistant managing editor for digital media at the Cape Cod Times and Cape Cod Online. Good morning, Anne.
Morning, John.
And joining us a little later will be Tim Wood, the editor of the Cape Cod Chronicle. Sally Rose will call in. She's the editor of the Provincetown Banner. And we'll also speak with Joshua Balling of the Nantucket Inquirer and Mirror. So let's take a look at some of the news headlines this week. A lot of storm stuff, Anne. We had a little storm. It started Wednesday afternoon. It kept right on going into Thursday, though there did seem to be a little pause overnight. How did things fare?
This storm was built up as going to dump about 18 inches of snow at one point on Cape Cod, and everybody was getting ready for it. And it turned out that on Cape Cod, we got about 5 to 10 inches, depending on where you were. Mm. Like you say, it started Tuesday night. There was a little bit of a lull, went into Wednesday. Schools were called off. There was quite a bit of snow, but not the 18 inches that they were predicting. There are some areas like in Kingston and Plymouth that they got 14 and above inches. But the good news here is that once again, we had a big storm come in and very few people lost their power. Unlike the storm earlier this month, it wasn't astronomically high tide, so we didn't have the type of coastal flooding and erosion that we had with the last storm and other big storms last year.
Right. So if you're going to have a winter storm, which we are going to have winter storms,
right.
this would seem to be the type of storm you'd want. Very cold, but also very light snow, fluffy.
Right. Right. Easy to shovel. But it is blowing around. I notice most of the roads are clear, but coming down Woods Hole Road, where that, I don't know if it's a golf course or a
yes.
big open field, all the snow is blowing into the street. So there are situations like that that people should be careful of because it's very cold out there. I think it's about 9 to 10 degrees when I came in from my car.
Yeah. Since that was really, you know, not very much big news, which is great. I don't think snow in wintertime should really be big news.
Right.
Let's move on to some news this week about the Cape Wind Project. Back in the news, that's the proposal to install 130 wind turbines in Nantucket Sound. It's been ongoing for quite some time, more than a decade now. So opponents of the project filed a new lawsuit this week, Anne, and while at the same time they heard from a judge about a pending lawsuit that they had filed previously. So let's start with the new stuff. What is this new lawsuit about?
Well, the new lawsuit has been filed by the town of Barnstable, several businesses and individuals, as well as the Alliance to Protect Nantucket Sound, which has been a staunch opponent of this offshore wind farm development. And they're saying the lawsuit has 2 points. One is that in order to get financing, Cape Wind needs to sell the power that they're ultimately going to generate with the turbines. They were able to make a deal with National Grid for 50% of that power, but NSTAR Tom May, the CEO, didn't really like Cape Wind, so he really didn't want to sign an agreement with Cape Wind, and they were going back and forth. However, when NSTAR was going to merge with another utility in Connecticut, the state official said, "We're not going to approve this unless you sign an agreement with NSTAR." With Cape Wind. And the people suing are saying that because this was forced on NSTAR, that in essence, the state was setting the wholesale price of electricity. I think they're charging about 18 cents a kilowatt for the first year that this power is generated. And the only, under federal law, only the federal government can set wholesale electric prices. So they're saying that it's unconstitutional. They're also saying that state regulators exceeded their authority in setting the wholesale rates. I just said that. But
right. So previously, opponents of the project had sued, they'd sued about the National Grid deal that
right.
you mentioned in the beginning, which had the same amounts anyway. They're
right.
going to pay the same amount per power, the same increase every year going forward. And that was the deal that apparently what's being reported is that the governor wanted NSTAR to come in under as well, make a deal. So when that was challenged in court before, the National Grid agreement with Cape Wind, it was upheld by the Supreme Judicial Court. So what's different now? Why would this particular power purchase agreement then be unlawful?
So in the first instance, the price of the energy was negotiated between National Grid, and Cape Wind. In the second instance, with NSTAR wanting to do this merger, the state said, you must sign this agreement in order for us to sign off on this merger.
And we know that for a fact, or is that an allegation?
That's an allegation, okay. but I do recall that there was a lot of pressure for them to sign this if they wanted the merger to go through, NSTAR officials. And I remember Tom May was very, he was fighting it all the way and was pretty upset about this part of the what he had to do in order for this merger to go through.
Sure. Should we be paying 2-3 times what the going rate is for electricity because it's green, because it's coming from a wind farm?
Right. Well, in the case of National Grid, the Supreme Judicial Court found that because there is a payoff, that there's an overall benefit to the community, that you have less emissions, that paying a higher rate evened out. You know, there was something to gain from that, some benefit to gain from that. Maybe it's more expensive, but the overall gain is less emissions, which we really need to do.
You're battling climate change.
Right. In this case that they just filed, they're saying that under federal law, only the federal government can set wholesale electric prices, and that by the state forcing this agreement before, in order to allow this merger, in essence, the state was setting the wholesale price, and that they were also discriminating against out-of-state power companies in doing so.
Okay. So that suit has been filed, so we'll let that move forward through the court system.
Right.
But we also heard about another suit that was filed previously, and this one has to do with the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. Now, opponents of Cape Wind had said this is where they think they had the best chance of fighting the project, because these towers would be 440 feet in the air, and there's concerns about the planes that travel back and forth from the Cape and the islands.
Right. Well, there was some evidence out of Britain that the spinning turbines interrupted the radar used for navigation in aircraft. And that, so there's a safety issue. If it's messing with the radar, the plane can't tell where they are. The FAA ruled originally that it was safe, that these turbines posed no hazard to any of the aircraft navigation. But there were members of Congress who contended that the FAA violated their own procedures when they issued this approval, and said that they contended that the FAA was acting under pressure from the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
So the court sent the case back to the FAA for review, saying, look it over again and follow your rules this time. Well, in the meantime, there is some new digital radar equipment that has been installed at Otis Air National Guard Base that is now can be used for the radar navigation. And so the court is saying it's a moot point whether these turbines interfere with the radar.
Oh, so this upgrade, this technological upgrade has now made this,
Safe.
So, safe to go forward.
So that the U.S. Appeals Court in Washington has denied the petition, and that case is over. There's still a few cases pending in federal court that have been bundled together, and we'll have to see how that goes.
And so that there's two hurdles left for the Cape Wind project that we know of. One would be the pending cases, as you mentioned, and the other would be the project is still seeking to fill out its financing.
Right.
Let's talk about Congressman Bill Keating. I read in a couple places this week that the congressman is in Russia in advance of the Winter Olympic Games there. I guess this is about security.
Right. Bill Keating is on the House Homeland Security Committee, and he's been involved with the investigation into the Marathon bombing in Boston last April. And that report on that bombing is going to be issued shortly. So he was in Russia apparently on that business, but also then went to Sochi, where the Olympics is going to be held, with his colleague, Republican Mike McCall of Texas. And they were looking into how safe Sochi is for Americans, essentially. There's been a couple of suicide bombings in Volgograd, which is about 600 miles away from Sochi. There's a couple of videos that have been released by alleged terrorists saying that they were going to cause problems or bombs and other even chemical weapons at the Olympics. So Keating went over in hopes of, you know, sharing some intelligence with the Russian officials to and also to see what the safety procedures and precautions are there. He came back saying that he feels like it's fairly safe, but if Americans go there to the Olympics, they should be paying attention to the State Department advisories and just paying attention to what's around them. But there are fears, according to a Globe story, Boston Globe story, that maybe some of the terrorist weapons or whatever might have been built into some of these buildings, that people might have infiltrated the construction sites and other things. So we'll see.
Okay. Let's talk about the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station in Plymouth. That's been having some issues over the past few years, safety issues. Now we're hearing, and we've actually had several unscheduled shutdowns because of problems with equipment. So what is the problem now? We hear about more safety issues.
Right. Well, the NRC found 5 security-related violations at the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant during a routine inspection last month. 2 of those infractions were first cited in November of 2012 and had not yet been corrected.
Oh, that's not good.
Right. These involve, I think, some mainly construction areas and other work area related. Although Neil Sheehan of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission said that 5 infractions at one time is above the normal range. So there is concern. The 2 of the infractions apparently were addressed and taken care of before the inspectors left, leaving the other 3. And Energy is saying that they're going to respond to these and repair them or fix them, the issues. And they have 30 days to respond to the NRC's letter of these violations.
Okay, so were they real specific about what those violations were?
They were not specific because they involve security. And because of that, they said and they need to correct longstanding equipment deficiencies important to the station's security defense within a reasonable amount of time. That's pretty much all as specific as they got because it is security related. They don't want to let people know where there may be some weaknesses.
Yeah, well, that makes sense there. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I expect to have Tim Wood on the phone. He's the editor of the Cape Cod Chronicle. And we'll talk about a new medical center that's set to, I guess, expand into urgent care in Harwich.